Hey folks, and welcome back into the pod. I was watching a Dr. Phil. Now, Dr. Phil's no longer on the air, but some of the channels, still run his show. And, you know, I have to be honest, sometimes it does make me feel better about my family, not my B family, but my mother's side of the family. My B family is my dad's side, which is totally awesome and normal and wonderful. But my mother's side, you know, kind of overtakes that at times because it's so fucking crazy. And, you know, we were abused and we lived through trauma and all the things. And so, you know, it's always insightful. And I know Dr. Phil is a performer. I know he's not a licensed psychiatrist, and all of those things. But it's just good to watch those stories sometimes. And plus, we don't have Jerry Springer anymore for trash television. So in any case, that's a little backstory to this episode. The reason I'm telling you that is because I was watching this episode this morning as I was getting ready to go, because I personally am tired of hearing the same shit about an election that's almost a year away. People are not in their right minds already. And it's like, you know what? All I'm hearing is bullshit. And I look up my own facts and I will go to candidates' websites and make sure I know what their stances are on things. That's what you should do. Right now, the news is in a craptastic cycle on every channel. That's all I'm saying. So I'm watching Dr. Phil, and they're doing a story about a cold case about a teenager that was killed in a small town. I can't remember what state. And it's 34 years ago. She was 15 years old. Her grandparents' house was right next door to her parents' house, which is very typical in small towns. A lot of times, if a family owned a large plot of land, they would build two homes or more on those plots of land so that the family could be close together but have their own space. And I think that's wonderful. That's a wonderful small town tradition. And this family did so. And so the grandparents were living next door to the parents. These young girls would go back and forth between their parents' house, where they lived, next door to their grandparents, all times of the day and probably night, whatever. They just considered it an extension of their home. The 15-year-old girl had gone over to her grandparents, and her 13-year-old sister had stayed in their own house, whatever. They had friends over for a while. They listened to music. And then the older sister went next door to the grandparents. Younger sister didn't think anything of it. Never did. Happened all the time. That day, her sister was murdered inside her grandparents' house, stabbed to death. And the grandfather found her screaming. The young daughter, the 13-year-old, heard her grandpa screaming and ran over. He's screaming, call an ambulance. So she ran back to her house, called an ambulance. He would then not let her into his house, trying to protect her. And somehow in all this, she, the 13-year-old, became the prime suspect. With, from what I can tell, no evidence other than she was next door. And one time on the school bus, she said she hated her sister. Now, if you have sisters, and I do not have bio sisters, but I have Karen. And the amount of times that Karen has said she hates me, and the amount of times I've said I hate Karen, let me tell you something. It is the furthest thing from the truth. Sisters get frustrated with each other. Brothers do too, I'm sure. And things are said, especially by teenagers and young people, in anger, because you're dysregulated, you don't know your emotions, and whatever. I hate you. Like, how many times did you say that to your parents when you were a teenager? Like, for real. Come on, everybody did it. And if you didn't do it, if you say you didn't do it, you're lying. There's got to be a time when you couldn't stand your parents, okay? In any case, this now adult woman was on, who was the 13-year-old sister, and basically the whole small town has been accusatory of her the entire 34 years. She was interviewed multiple times without her parents as a 13-year-old, which would not go on today. That would be severely illegal. excuse me, morning throat, seriously illegal. Okay, let me take some water here. And they didn't really accuse her grandfather, who was actually in the house or came to the house and found the dead person, found the sister dead. Apparently the town, you know, small towns, even now, are run by little mafias of people. I've lived in this town forever. In the town I live in Massachusetts, if you don't have a phone number with the first three digits being 692, they call you a blow-in. To your face, they will call you a blow-in. Okay? Now, that's ridiculous. I happen to have a 692 phone number because I must have gotten an old person's phone number when I moved to this town. Oh, well, you're... okay, you're not a blow-in. That's been said to me. To my face. I don't know what my throat is doing right now. But it was fine before I started this podcast. In any case, I'll try to get through this. So, this woman called Dr. Phil, obviously years ago now, and wanted to come on and clear her name. Most of the townspeople refused to come on and accuse her to her face, which pretty much tells you that it's a rumor mill and they just like to go around and rumor, which small towns are famous for, as I'm sure you all know. And the one person who was willing to come on and accuse her to her face is the former, at the time of the incident, police chief's daughter, who is now, I would submit, quote unquote, a Karen, who wants to get on television and is accusing this woman. Well, I lived down the street from them and she was goth and dark and she hated her sister. I heard her say it on the bus. Okay. What's your basis? Here's Dr. Phil. What's your basis for accusing her? Well, I mean, she was dark and negative and she wasn't nice to people. Her sister was wonderful to people. Okay. Dr. Phil's like, okay, well, what else is your basis? I have a picture. I think it's evidence. Oh, okay. So it looks like a couple years after the sister was murdered, she dressed up as a vampire victim for Halloween. And that picture is the picture that this Karen person, Karen type person, says, sorry, taking something from my throat, is evidence that she is mocking her dead sister. They showed the picture. She had a black wig on and a black dress, and she had, you know, fake teeth marks in her neck. And she said, that was for Halloween. I was dressed up as a vampire victim. And the woman just sat there and didn't say anything. Well, but she's dark. She kept saying she's dark. We get it. You're Caucasian. You don't like dark people. What is your point here, Karen? What's your point? And Phil, Dr. Phil was like, what is your point? You keep saying that. Well, she's mocking her dead sister by wearing black. What? So then they show a picture of this 13-year-old child who saw her sister's dead body, which would be traumatizing to an adult, much less a child, okay? Think of a 13-year-old that you know, or when your children were 13, okay? And she says, well, how did she know there were 18 stab wounds? How does she even know that? And this woman, the sister of the dead woman, said, my parents showed me the autopsy report. My parents got the autopsy report shortly after my sister was killed. That's how I know. And Dr. Phil turns to this Karen. I'm sorry to any Karens. You know, it's not you. You're not like that. But unfortunately, there are people and they've somebody chose this name as the type of person, but you know what I'm saying. This Karen, and asked, Dr. Phil asked her, well, have you seen the autopsy report? And this woman goes, no, I've never seen it. Oh, okay. So then later in the discussion, was she still calling this woman a murderer? Okay. 34 years after the incident, with no real basis, just town gossip. Okay. She says, well, now if your sister was attacked by someone random, wouldn't she have been raped? And Dr. Phil's like, what? Every woman that is murdered is not raped. Well, most of them are, this Karen said. Really, most of them are. What's your basis for that statement? I just think that. Oh, you just think that. Well, that's not a fact, actually. And Dr. Phil gave some actual statistics. Then he says, she kept going with the rape thing. Well, then I think she knows who did it. She's not saying. Oh, well, let me help you. Dr. Phil takes out the autopsy report. He apologizes to the sister. Says, I'm sorry to put this on the screen in front of you. I apologize. Oh, look, there was sperm inside the victim. What does Karen say? Oh, that could have happened earlier in the day. Oh, now we're making excuses for evidence that points away from the sister. Ultimately, I'm not going to go through the whole show with you. Don't worry. But ultimately, she then said, well, why doesn't she take a lie detector test? This woman has been asking for a lie detector test since before she was a woman. When she was a child and being accused, she asked for a lie detector test. Just give me a lie detector test. They wouldn't give it to her. So now Karen is hit with, well, actually, Karen, she did take a lie detector test. And we're going to say the results, you know, after the commercial break. You know how they do. Okay. And Dr. Phil has a former FBI lie detector examiner. And he's the one who administered this lie detector in 90 minutes to this woman. There is a protocol, apparently, that is followed if you are on any medication. If you have any health risks, like say you have high blood pressure or you have a defect in your heart, say, you know, it beats too fast, or I don't remember all the medical terms right this second, but you know what I mean. If you have a known condition, you need to tell the polygraph examiner because that could affect your test, and they don't want to adversely affect your test with something like that. So he went through all that with her. He said he determined she was on no medication, had no health concerns that would affect the test, et cetera, et cetera. And then he administered the test. And what polygraph examiners do is they ask you the same questions in a different way to see if you're going to change your answer. Okay? Then they score it. I don't know what the scoring scale is at all, but they score it and then they give the results. So you're either deceptive or not deceptive. So you're either lying or you're not lying. Okay. This woman, this sister, who was accused as a 13-year-old in the murder of her sister, was telling the truth when she said she did not have anything to do with her sister's death, knew who had anything to do with her sister's death, or anything like that. Now, Karen is stopped in her tracks. And when Dr. Phil says, and now, what do you say? And the woman stood up and she said, I want to apologize to you for accusing you. Now, I personally don't think that's sufficient, quite frankly. You've been standing around church, the store, the water cooler, the freaking little hokey pokey town square, talking about this woman since she was 13 years old. She's now 50 years old. And you've been talking about her. She had to drop out of school. She got into drugs. Who wouldn't as a 13-year-old when you're being accused of murdering your sister? The police aren't really accusing you. Everyone in town is. Because, you know, that's how small towns can be. Okay? Now, why is this relevant today? Is it about this case? No, it's not. It's about gossip and innuendo and the motherfucking telephone game. Okay? Now listen. We had an instance in my business recently, and we have a protocol for times when a client gets injured during class. Now, truth be told, I should review this policy with my staff every year. Truth be told, I have not. Okay? We have a lot of very seasoned managers, and we have some new ones. Is it on me that I don't do it every year? Yes. Will that change now? Also, yes. Okay? We had an incident in class. I was on vacation. We have an incident report that is supposed to be filled out. Now, there are instances where we don't fill an incident report out. One would be if a staff member or an instructor gets injured, that if they go to the hospital would go through workman's comp. Even though I do not have employees, I only have contract instructors who own their own franchises and contract with us to teach our classes in our facility. And my class managers are on the barter system, which is legal in Massachusetts, just for anyone who might be listening. Yes, we have done this all 100% legally, okay? So technically we don't have to have workman's comp, but we do because in the instance that anybody would leave teaching a class in my facility, contracting with me to do so, running their own business, okay? If they would go to the ER and say, you know, the doctor's going to say, how did you get injured? And they would say, I was working at Jazzercise. Yeah. So you have, in the state of Massachusetts, you have to have workman's comp on the books or you're going to be in deep, deep, deep doo-doo if that happens. So we don't want to be in any kind of doo-doo, deep or not deep. Okay, so we have workman's comp, okay? The incident was a client. It was someone who ultimately their wrist was broken. An incident report was not filled out because the class manager, even though she's very seasoned and experienced and is a nurse in her regular life, somehow did not fill out an incident report. And somehow it got around my studio that she said, I told her never to, which is not what she said and never what I said. But this is what was going around like the telephone game. So I had to squash it. Now that's one example in my studio that could have eventually had tragic consequences. But of course, I take care of things right away. We're gonna hit it. I'm gonna talk to that manager. She's like, I didn't say that. I said, I knew you didn't say that. But somebody is spreading rumors that that's what you said and telling other managers not to ever fill one out, which is crap. Okay. And she's like, I agree. And you know, we filled one out. It's 24 hours late, but that's okay. We have all the information. The client is fine. She went to the doctor. Thankfully, everybody's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. We did what we had to do. And now that's cleared up. In any case, the biggest telephone game in the world is being perpetuated, and it's actually built on a lie, not a miscommunication. Okay? There is a presidential candidate who has been lying for the last 4 years, even before the last election, saying that the election was stolen. Well, how can something be stolen if it hasn't happened yet? It can't be. Then continued that after the election. So people just didn't really even bring up that he's been saying that since before the election happened. Now, before the next election happens, still saying it. And that is not okay. In any way, shape, or form, it is not okay. That is a lie. And that is causing people to gossip and pick up a story and spin it like the telephone game. And that's exactly what happened to that woman in a small town. She did not kill her sister. There is evidence pointing to a man that was never followed because everybody was so focused on her. If you are participating in this election lying business and the telephone game that goes along with it, you are causing people to be harmed. You are causing election workers and other candidates and all sorts of people to be harmed physically and potentially violently because of you participating in gossip and a lie. Do not participate in stuff like that. That is dishonest, lying, participating in the telephone game, not looking at actual facts, listening to people who have no background in what they're talking about. Like that Karen on the Dr. Phil show. What background did she have? Zero. Well, I think I would have been bawling at the funeral. Dr. Phil was like, well, do you have any basis for that? Well, I know I would be. She kept saying it. And Dr. Phil's like, well, actually, people in grief can react many different ways. And it looks to me, from the footage I've seen, like this 13-year-old girl was in shock. And that's why she had no reaction. So the basis for what I'm telling you here today is to not participate. Don't participate in it. In my studio, in any other business that you patronize, at church, in your family, in your workplace, in politics, don't participate in gossip, backbiting, two-facedness, or clickiness, any of it. All it does is hurt people. And if that's what you need to do to make yourself feel good about you, I'm sad for you.